in the first episode of a television show, it's the first time we meet the characters, but sometimes it's the first time the characters meet each other. And we, as the viewers, we get to look forward to seeing where the story is going. This scene between Jesus and this woman he meets at the well, it's the first meeting between two people from two completely different walks of life. And it's a surprise, I think, to most people, at least to me, that Jesus and his group of friends and she and her entire village end up hanging out together for two whole days more. Because, you know, as it says in the reading, they don't even share water jugs with each other. They don't share anything. It's not like crossing the border from here to Pennsylvania, where we're all kind of, yeah, we're on two sides of the border, but we're all kind of the same village. With Jesus and with the Jews and the Samaritans, there was a border, and these people stayed on one side, and those people stayed on the other, and they didn't mix. I think if this scene were being written by a Hollywood screenwriter nowadays, my guess is that as soon as the topic of the multiple husbands came up, that they would have had the woman say, like her line would have been, "Don't you go telling me how to live. I'll live how I want to live. No stranger I meet at the well is going to tell me what to do." I think that's just the way Hollywood writes conflict between people, you know. The walls go up immediately between people. But this scene isn't about walls. It can't be about walls. There can't be walls here. It's a well. The well is a public place. It's like going to the market or going to the town square. Walls can't be built in this place because it's for everybody. And similarly, in their conversation, walls don't get built up in the conversation between Jesus and this woman. I wish she had a name, because I have to keep on calling her the Samaritan woman or this woman or something the entire time. I wish I had recorded her name, but alas, I gotta say this woman for the rest of the homily. In the conversation, you know, those walls don't get built up. This scene is not about a fight. It's about two people getting to know each other. Is there conflict? Yeah. Is there a difference of opinion between these two people? Yeah, and you see that play out. I mean, he says one thing and she says another, and he says one thing and you know, they've got different ways of looking at it, but they're not like taking sides and building up walls to hide behind. Instead, their conversation explores all those differences between the two of them. And because this is a public place, the well area is a public place, the woman isn't afraid of Jesus. I mean, he is a stranger. They don't even introduce, they don't give each other names. The only reason, they don't introduce themselves to each other. He's a stranger, they are alone together, but because it's a public place near the well, it's a safe place. Anyone might show up, you know, so she can, the both of them can just have a conversation safely. A good horticulturalist or a good farmer or a good can look at a sick plant and know what it needs Maybe it needs a more acidic soil or something, or maybe it needs pruning a couple of limbs, or maybe it's just thirsty and needs more water. A good veterinarian can do the same thing, and a good, you know, human medical doctor can do the same thing for humans. You know, a little investigation and you can tell what they need. And the benefit the medical doctor has is that the patient can also tell him or her what the problem is. The doctor doesn't have to rely only on the evidence. But in any case, in any of those situations, sometimes the prescription is simply just drink more water, you're dehydrated. You know, whether it's a plant or it's a dog or it's a human being. All of those creatures can be thirsty, you know. Jesus is an expert at human beings. He's an anthropologist. He's an expert at anthropology. He knows human beings. And he knows when someone hasn't had enough water. In this conversation with this woman that he meets at the well, through the conversation, he realizes and he knows that, well, she's thirsty. She hasn't had enough water. This is no surprise to the woman. I mean, she came to a well with an empty jug of water. It's pretty obvious that she's thirsty, but Jesus knows that she's thirsting in other ways, too. She has got such deep desires, and they haven't been filled. She comes to the well at the hottest part of the day. Normally, the well is like the place where people hang out. You know, you stand and talk with your shopping carts at the market, and these people stand around and talk. But she comes at the hottest part of the day when no one else goes out to get the water, because why? It's hot. Go early when it's still cool. She goes alone because she's not part of the community. She's ostracized. Doesn't get along with the rest of the people in her village. She thirsts for community. She thirsts for just being able to be part of the village. That's and part of the reason of that is probably because what Jesus discovers, she's had five husbands, and yet those relationships keep falling apart too. She's probably ostracized because of that fact, and then she's thirsting for a good, like, marriage. Regardless of where the blame may lie, she's tried it five times and it's falling apart all the time. She thirsts for a good marriage. She wants a good relationship with her husband. Jesus sees all this, and he knows that he can help. He's got water that is different. It can wash things the water in the well can't wash. It can quench thirsts that the water in the well can't quench. It can wash away all the sins. It's not that Jesus doesn't care about the sins. Obviously, he does care, otherwise he wouldn't have brought it up in such a pointed fashion. But he knows that her sins, even her repeated sins, are not the end of the world. He doesn't let them get in the way of loving her. He doesn't let them get in the way of still wanting to give her what he knows that she needs. He doesn't let them get in the way of giving her the water that he's got. Did you see we gave out the word among us at the beginning of Lent. You know, I mean, the picture on the cover at the well and Jesus talking. But I don't know if anyone noticed, right in the middle, there's this little two-page thing that came out. You can pop it right up, I guess. There's another picture of Jesus and the woman at the well. But it's this little, like, preparation for going to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, a little preparation for going to confession. And it's based on this story, on the encounter of Jesus and the woman at the well. So there's like a little list of questions, you know, and there's a little explanation. And in it, it says this. I'll just read a little part of it. Like this woman, we too are thirsty for God. We carry the burdens of sin, but Jesus knows our struggles, just as he knew hers, and he wants to set us free, to meet us in the Sacrament of Reconciliation so that he can give us a drink of the living water of his mercy. So, if you didn't get one of these at the beginning of Lent, they're at the entrances still, there's some extras, and you can use it, so, you know, for Tuesday night when you've got Reconciliation, you can grab one and use that to get ready for if you're going to come on Tuesday and for the sacrament. But did anyone see, I mean, if we're going to talk about confession, did anyone see what I did for Halloween last fall? I took all the furniture. Okay, everyone's nodding. People are nodding and they're snickering. So I took all the furniture out of the reconciliation room over here, the kneeler and the screen and the chairs and everything, and I put them on the front porch of the rectory when people were coming up for candy because it's a scary thing. Like, everyone thinks confession is a scary thing. So I was like, well, that's scary to people. I'll put that on the porch. Ooh, I decorated for Halloween. I thought it was hilarious, but to the contrary, I know that's the reputation for confession, but to the contrary, it's the safest of all places. All that's in there, all that happens in a confessional, as most of you know, I'm sure, is just, there's just the person who confesses the sins, and there's Jesus. And Jesus says, I forgive you, you know, and there's the priest who says it on behalf of Jesus. The priest, I mean, I can't say anything else. That's ultimately at the end of the confession, that's what I say, you know, I forgive you. And if we can't say I'm sorry in the confessional where it's safe and private and the priest can never say anything to anybody else ever and the ready response is I forgive you, then how can we ever say it to other people who maybe we need to say it to, but who we know are less ready to say I forgive you? In the confessional, we all get what we need to hear. We need to hear, I forgive you. So Jesus says, I forgive you. Like, he's got this fountain of water. He can share. He'll share it. So you can use the little two-page insert in the middle of it. You can even tear it out and you can bring it on Tuesday to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. There's a bunch of priests coming, one from the Archdiocese, another one from Pennsylvania. You can have as much or as little time as you want. And they're all experts in giving out this living water. That's the job. They're experts in it. Because they're also experts in sin. I mean, not to say that they're not, I mean, maybe, not that they're experts in sin because they're good sinners. Maybe they are, I don't know. I can speak for myself, but I'm not going to speak for them. But they're experts because, in the words of Father Brown, a man who hears confessions has some insight into the dark recesses of the human soul. And sometimes that's more true for the older priests who have been hearing confessions for a lot longer, and so they've got more experience with evil because they've constantly washed it off of people. Confession is about telling secrets, I get that. It's about telling things that we don't want anyone to know. But these are secrets, they're not to be kept. They're not secrets to be kept. They're not to be shared, either. I mean, But if not kept, if these things are not to be kept and they're not to be shared, then what else do you do with them? You get rid of them. It's like a banana peel. You know, there's no reason to share it with anybody. There's no reason to keep it. You just get rid of it. You just throw it away. They must be, you know, the sins, they must be gotten rid of and washed away. They must, and to do that, we call it being absolved. And being absolved is just the word for washing away. And washed in what? Well, in water that doesn't come from a well, but instead comes just right out of Jesus. So the woman at the well here gets the water she needs, not from the well. She leaves her empty jug behind and she goes back to town. She had received the water that she needed, and she took the water back with her to the village and she shared it with them. She shared it such that all of her neighbors wanted some. And the people with him, his friends, the disciples there, they stay 2 more days. And Jesus can give away all the water he wants because it's an endless well. It's an endless spring. These people who were once on 2 sides of a border were able to all be united and all drink from the same well. Jesus is the well. They shared the same friendship with Jesus. And this is the great development because from Judaism to Christianity, there's a great development because for the Jews, Judaism is for the Jews and not for anybody else. That's just the way it was. But the disciples learned that Christ is for all people. And the message that they're going to be given to be bringing to people, you know, the disciples there, the message that they will ultimately be bringing to people is to be brought to anybody, to all people, even on the other side of this border with Samaria. It'll be their job to bring the message, to bring this living water to whoever, to anybody. And they're initially scandalized by it. They're like, why are you talking with this Samaritan woman? But then they learn. And they just enjoy this time for 2 days with this village. Yes, I know it makes you sound like the Dos Equis commercial, but let's stay thirsty, you know? Let's stay thirsty for this water. A few weeks ago I said, it was a week that we talked about being salt and light, you know, and I said, stay salty. And people, it came back to me all week. People kept on saying it. They're like, oh, that was great. I love what you said on Sunday. Stay salty. That's great. And I thought, okay, great, good. Glad you remember the homily. That's wonderful. But it kind of saying stay thirsty kind of makes sense because when you go to the bar, you put the pretzels and they put the peanuts on the bar because the saltier, the more salty you are, the more thirsty you become. Both of these go together as well. You know, we stay salty, we stay the salt of the earth, and we'll constantly be thirsty for not just water that we need to drink, but the living water that quenches thirsts beyond any other water that we might be able to find. Let's stay thirsty for